I invite you to read with me from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and in chapter 3, verse 15 is kind of the main theme or the main verse for today, but I'll be looking at several passages in chapter 3 of Colossians. Last week we talked about the lesson of hope and how Jesus mentioned that his that heaven and earth might pass away, that all of those things that people look to as physical structures, maybe the temple or the city of Jerusalem or those monuments, those can all pass away, but there's one thing that is sure, and that is the word of Christ. The word of God will never pass away, and that hope that comes from the knowledge that his word is there. Today we want to look at the theme of peace. And peace is a theme of Christmas, of Advent season. The angels sang over that manger in Bethlehem, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give unto you. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And here in Colossians 3:15, he says it this way, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, the body of Christ, you are called to peace and be thankful. The peace of Christ. And I want to look today, what does it mean to have that peace of Christ? What is that, and how can it happen in us? And I guess the first question I would ask is, what is ruling your heart today? Is your heart contented or troubled? Anxious and worried or calm? Are you fearful or at rest? Jealous and comparing your life or your circumstances with someone else, or maybe thanking God for the blessings and the things that he's given you? Our hearts could be ruled by loneliness or sadness or loss or depression or fear. We could be ruled by impurity or desirous of things that we think ought to be ours but aren't. A peaceful heart, I think, is an outward expression or an outward sign that something's at work inside, that God is doing something inside. And peace is that outward sign of a inward relationship with Christ. When Jesus is in there working and loving, somehow it shows itself in outward ways. I think it comes out in gratitude. And so he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. But it also comes out in actions and attitudes, words that are kind, attitudes and actions that are compassionate or thoughtful or supportive. And so he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And Paul's instructions on holy living are given here in the letter to the Colossians. If you read the whole book, you discover the first two chapters are kind of a theology about who Christ is and what he did and how he is God in the flesh, that he was with God in the beginning but became flesh and blood and dwelt on earth, and he died on the cross for our sins, and that somehow as we put our faith and our trust in Christ, we are raised to new life. And so if you still have that passage open, Paul writes to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul writes to the Colossians, set your hearts on things above and set your minds on things above. And if you read some of the other letters of Paul to the other churches, to the Philippians, for example, he says it this way. Whatsoever things are true or noble or just or pure, whatever things are lovely or excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And so in thinking on higher things, he says the same thing. He's telling us to put our minds on things above. He told that to the Philippians. He also writes to the Ephesians and others similar things. And then he says, put to death the things of the earthly nature. Put to death the things that are immoral or impure or are filled with lust or evil desires or greed. And then in verse 12, 13, and 14 in chapter 3 here, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And so he lists here some virtues. If you read the letter of Paul to the Galatians, he calls them the fruit of the Spirit. And he lists them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and those virtues, those clothes of the Spirit that we are to put on. And so if Jesus is at work in us, then there's a peaceful heart, and there are spiritual clothing that shows themselves. What is this peace of Christ? I think it's something that's present no matter what the circumstances. Maybe it comes with our knowledge of salvation. Maybe it comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And somehow maybe it is there even when things are difficult, but it causes thankfulness. And I think the peace of Christ causes healing, and it causes health and assurance and a calm that even in the worst storms, God is still at work. We read in that reading this morning as they lit the candles, I will lie down and sleep in peace. And God gives us that kind of peace. I believe that the peace of Christ isn't something that we conjure up, and that somehow if we meditate enough or if we focus on the right thinking or the right attitudes, we can make that peace happen. I think it's something that God gives, a gift from above, from the Savior, a spiritual gift or a fruit. And so Paul listed that as one of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's often seen best when it ought not to be there. Some of the times that the peace of Christ shows itself is in times when life is in turmoil or when things are not going on that are well. It may seem out of place in some ways, but Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. And the world talks about peace, and many pray for that world peace to come, which I'm not sure that is even something that will ever happen in this world, but in God's kingdom, there is peace already, and he offers that to us. The psalmist wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds. And somehow the peace of Christ can rule in our hearts. Paul said, let this kind of peace, the kind that comes from Jesus, who's at work in you, that comes from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, let that peace rule in your hearts. Now, how can that happen? How can it rule in our hearts? It's, as I said, not something we conjure up, but rather something we simply allow. Paul didn't write and say, make the peace rule. He said, let the peace of Christ rule. Something you allow to happen. Something that God is making available, we just have to let it happen. May the Lord himself give you peace at all times and in every way, he wrote to the Thessalonians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 16. He said, I've told you these things, told about going away and preparing a place and that he would come again, and told about the Holy Spirit coming and giving that comforting presence. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you can have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If you read that slowly, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not in the world, not out there, but in Christ. And so Paul says, set your minds and your hearts on things above, not on the things down here, and focus on putting on the spiritual clothing of love and joy and faithfulness and compassion and kindness. Set your hearts on things above. Now, spiritual discipline is a little bit necessary because if you're like me, we default to our worldly nature. So anger or fear or sorrow or jealousy or getting our feelings hurt or disappointments or immoral things, those things kind of come naturally. And if something happens, we automatically kind of tend to be afraid, or we naturally get angry or hurt or frustrated. And somehow it's easy to focus on those things. But if we choose that, then our lives will reflect that. But there's another choice. And that's what Paul is saying. The other choice is set our hearts on things above. It may be a little harder. It may take a little discipline at first, but once you get started focusing on those higher things, it gets easier and it gets better and it feels good and it's an enjoyable experience even when there are things that you're not enjoying. Once you get started, you discover that there are noble things that are happening. There are things that are true. There are things that are lovely. There are people that are generous. There are people that are giving. There are people that are going out of their way to make a difference in somebody else. There are things that God is doing in the lives of his believing people. There are folks that are generous. And I understand that there was a lady who passed away this week, and she was one of those ladies who played the piano, and she often would come to our house and just sit and play the piano for Janet when she was sick, and somehow was just her gift. It was a blessing and an ability just to share. And there are people that are doing noble and honorable things like that. If we look, we can see those. We'll notice them and we focus, and somehow as we begin to see the good things, you know, if they could just turn the newscast around and start with the good news instead of putting it at the very end, that one little thing at the end and all of the bad stuff at the beginning, maybe life wouldn't feel so heavy and so hard, but somehow the bad news seems to be more profitable or something. Things are noble and true and lovely and admirable. And when we set our minds on those things, then we can see God at work, and contentment and blessings can follow. And Paul regularly suggests that we set our minds on those things above. And he also gives us another clue as to how that peace can rule in us. He says it right here, three little words, and be thankful. As he wrote to the Philippians, he said, everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known, and then the result is the peace that passes understanding. There's some connection between peace and thanksgiving. And so if we can learn not only to set our minds on higher things, but to set our mind on things to be thankful for. And so there are so many things that we can be thankful for. He wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Now, that's not always something that we do naturally, but it's something that we can do. And sometimes when I've had a tough time or a struggle or a difficulty, I've been this week trying to say, "Thank you, Lord, for that tough time." And I do say it sort of facetiously, but I also realize that Jesus instructs us to do that for a reason. And maybe in the trial that I'm going through or the difficulty that's going on, God's teaching me something that I need to learn or that I need to know. And so rejoice, to give thanks in all circumstances. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. It's not the absence of strife, not the absence of difficulty, not something that will come someday when there's world peace, but it's something available right now, a here and now kind of thing. Peace comes when Jesus comes. Peace is a gift from Him. It's something that we can allow to happen. We don't have to create it or cause it. We just have to let it happen. Peace comes knowing that we have salvation. Jesus, often when someone would come for healing or come to have their need met, He'd say to them, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." And that peace of Christ can go with us. Peace causes healing and health and assurance and calm, the ability to lie down and sleep in peace. I'm reminded, we sang Away in the Manger, no crib for a bed, one of my littlest grandchildren in preschool learned the whole song, all three verses, and the last verse, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray, bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there." And my daughter Katie reminds me that if you miss a verse, then you got to go back and start over at the very beginning and sing all three verses. So at bedtime, she makes sure that they sing all three verses at the beginning. Well, the peace, to lie down and sleep in peace, to have that peace of Christ, bless all the dear children in thy tender care, that's what God wants for us. Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." He said through Paul to the Colossians, "Let peace rule in your hearts." Because as members of the body of Christ, we're called to peace and be thankful. And somehow the peace and the thanksgiving go together. This is the peace of Christ that we can allow to rule in us. And I hope as we go through this week, it'll be a peaceful week because despite all of the bad news and the struggles, you know that there is a Savior and a God at work inside and you're allowing it to happen. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that the peace of Christ is available to us. And forgive us, Lord, for the times that we act or we react in our human nature and we become fearful or anxious or worried or angry or frustrated. It's so easy to default to that, Lord. Teach us to set our minds on the other things, the beautiful things and the lovely things and the excellent things, the things that are praiseworthy. And they're all around us, Lord. If we look, we see doctors and nurses that are giving of themselves. We see people that are generous and putting their offerings in Salvation Army buckets. We see people that are going out of their way to help someone else or to care. We hear people that are making phone calls and writing letters and notes. And there are people who are just sharing a song or music. Lord, there are so many beautiful things that are happening and people that are blessing others with their lives and their talents. Father, help us to be willing, able to focus and allow your peace to rule in our hearts. Help us to, Lord, enjoy this Advent season as a time of peace. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.